Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
A bump in the night. Your heart fills with dread. Probably a murderer who wants you dead. It could be a ghost, a demon, or worse. Perhaps you're the victim of a witch's curse. It's hopeless, you're doomed, you'd call a priest if you could. You'd rather just listen to who? Sinisterhood.
I'm gonna kill you. Welcome to another edition of Freaky Friday, where we tell your odd but true stories. It is Friday, May 22nd. For many people, it's the last day of school for their kids, so
it is.
Summer is here, technically.
Simon's been out for a week.
Nice. Summer's been there.
Hello, darkness, my old friend.
I remember my mom and her friends going to brunch the first day of school every year, and I was like, we're leaving. Why are you guys celebrating? What the heck?
It's a celebratory brunch.
Yeah. Yeah, then you grow up and you go like, y'all want me to bring, I'll buy you mimosas, parents.
Yeah. Ella's last day is today, as you're hearing this, though. So I think for most kids, although I feel like DISD gets out next week. Like they have to go back after Memorial Day for like a day or two, which to me seems stupid.
Crazy.
Yeah, but
they're like,
nobody
you
asks
had one
my
snow
opinion.
Day. Yeah, you had a snow day, so we have to get it back and make it up. So,
yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Anyhow, well, if your summer has begun, I hope it's treating you well. And thank you all for joining us again this Friday and for being so generous with all your stories, sending them in.
Yes, it's summertime weather already.
Making you ready.
Which it's going to be, even though next February technically isn't summer, we're going to feel like it's summer when we're on that big-ass cruise ship sailing through the Bermuda Triangle with all of our spooky friends.
Yeah, we're talking about Crime Wave at Sea 2027, February 8th through 12th. Come join us. It's going to be tropical, fun location, a lot of fun friends, a lot of creepy crawly stuff, because we're definitely going to see some, I think, some non-human intelligence is going to make contact
before
then.
So I mean, I'm like teetering on non-human intelligence at this point. So
it will be there. Yeah, exactly. So go to crimewaveatsea.com/sinister. Come and join us. There's lots of ways to come join us. And also, if you want to jump on the Discord page, is where folks are making plans, finding roommates, things of that nature. So you can bring a friend, make a friend, and be friends with us because we're going to hang out with you. It's going to be a great time.
Absolutely.
Heck yeah.
So excited. Yes. And if you use our code, you get $100 off your cabin and a meet and greet with us. So
let's meet, let's greet,
let's do it all. Let's meet, greet, eat,
and howl at the moon. Hail Satan with Henry and Ed, certainly. For sure.
Well, in the meantime, here are some freaky stories sent in by all of you. I'm Christy.
I'm Heather.
And let's get freaky. This first one is from JD, not Vance.
No, because it's not about the couch and the falling in love with the couch.
No, the subject line of this one is almost trapped by a stranger, not a love seat, saved by a mom. JD writes, "Dear Sinister Sisters, you guys are the best. I listen every Wednesday and Friday. The Full Moon Energy Tour t-shirt is a staple in my wardrobe, and I get genuinely giddy when there's a new Patreon episode drop. But enough butt kissing. In honor of Mother's Day, I'm finally sending in my story on how a mom's care and kindness saved me from potential danger. As Christy would say, let's get into it. The story took place about 25 years ago when I was just 14 years old. I grew up in a sleepy little Minnesota town where nothing bad ever happens. In this town, there was a tiny strip of shops, video rental, dance studio, antique store, and a horse tack shop where I worked. My mom made the questionable decision to let me start working in this shop by myself when I was just 14 years old. Man, the aughts were a crazy time. At the very front of this store was an L-shaped display case that I'd stand behind to access the cash register and separate me from the customer. There was also a large window looking out onto the main street. At the back of the store were two small fitting rooms for trying on sparkly horse show outfits. A few steps from the display case at the front was a small office where I spent my time when there weren't any customers, which was usually the case in this sleepy town. From the office, the view was very limited. I could see customers enter, but the rest of the store was out of view. I swear all of this is important to the story. One afternoon, I was standing behind the display case, waiting for one of our rare customers to finish making their selections, when a man in his late 20s or early 30s saw me through the front window. He stared at me kind of strangely as he entered the store, but I didn't think much of it. I just wanted the customers to leave so I could get back to chatting it up on AOL Instant Messenger. This man wandered around the back of the store for a bit, then came up to the front when the other customer was checking out. He didn't have anything to buy, and after I bagged up the other customer's purchase, he started asking me questions. So what's your name? Do you work here all the time? How late do you work? Questions that didn't make me nervous at first, but of course there's no reason for a man to be asking a teenage girl this stuff. And of course, the questions and comments escalated. Him, have you watched the movie Boogie Nights? I think you'd really like it. It's about porn. You can come over and watch it at my house, but it might give us some ideas. Me, nervously. No, I don't think I'd like that. Alarm bells were screaming in my head. Danger! Danger! Him. Oh, I think you would like it. I could tell when you'd been over earlier to get that bag out. I could see your panties. He gave me a greasy smile and a dirty look. The alarms in my head were dialed to 1,000. Me. I'm sorry. I really didn't mean to show them. That's really embarrassing. It's because these are low-rise jeans. I really didn't mean to. I was scared and started rambling. I didn't know what to do. I was a kid, and he's a grown-up, and he's talking about my underwear. I started backing up from the display case, trying to put space between us. Him, more aggressively. Oh, I think you did mean to show me your panties. Let me see them again. At this point, he started walking around the display case that separated us. With the L shape, he'd be able to corner me behind it. I was terrified, but mustered the strongest voice I could. No, you cannot come behind here. I need to get back to work, and you need to leave. To my surprise, this actually worked. It might have also helped that anyone on the street could see him trap me behind the display case through the front window. Either way, he stopped, turned around, and quickly left the store. I was flooded with relief, but my heart was still pounding in my chest. I shakily walked into the office where I could calm down. After a few minutes of deep breaths, I heard the bell of the front door chime to let me know a customer had entered. I looked up through the office door and felt my stomach drop. The man was back. He gave me a look, then quickly darted towards the back of the store. I froze, not knowing what to do. There was no back exit from the office. The only way to leave would be trying to run past the display case and out the front door. I didn't have the running speed or courage for that. With my limited view, I also couldn't see where he was in the store. Panicking, I decided to pick up the office phone and pretended to call a friend. In hindsight, I should have called the police, but I was 14 and felt like nothing really bad had happened yet. My young brain thought I'd get in trouble for calling when it wasn't a real emergency. Instead, I made up a conversation loudly into the phone. Hi, Shane. Are you still on your way over? Yeah, I'm in the store. You're bringing the other guys from the wrestling team, right? And the football team? You'll be here in 2 minutes? Okay, great. It was obviously a fake call, but I didn't know what else to do. I'd paused to try and make it sound like I was waiting for a response, but also so I could listen for the man. I knew he was still in there, but I didn't know where. My ears strained to listen for steps or breathing. My eyes stayed on the office doorway, sure he'd burst in at any moment and attack me. I kept up this fake call and terrified listening routine for what felt like hours, but it was probably closer to 10 minutes. Then the front door chimed, and in walked a mother with her two young kids. I was surprised, as this store was lucky to get one customer a day, but incredibly relieved someone else was there. Cautiously, I left the office to greet them, still unsure of where the man was or what he would do. As I tried my best to be a professional sales girl and spoke to the mom about riding boots for her kids, my eyes nervously scanned the store for the pervert. He was nowhere to be seen, and after several minutes, I started to relax. He must have left and I didn't notice. I'd been shaking scared in the office for nothing. But then, like a nightmare, the monster came out of the closet. He'd been hiding in one of the fitting rooms in the back. I guess he got bored listening to us talk boots because he came out, made eye contact with me, and then quickly left the store. I was horrified and knew it showed on my face. What had he been planning on doing? But I still wanted to be a professional sales girl. Trying to hide my panic from the mom, I made up an excuse about needing to look for a different size boot and beelined it to the office to compose myself. But that mom had the sixth sense that so many moms do and knew something wasn't right. She followed me into the office, put a hand on my arm, and asked me what was wrong. At that moment of kindness, I lost it, letting my professional sales girl facade fall and being the scared kid I really was. I started bawling. That man who just left the store, he was saying really dirty things to me, and I'm alone here and I'm so scared. I let it all out and cried into her arms. She gave me a big hug, but also wasted no time picking up the phone saying, "We're calling the cops." While we waited for them to show up, she reassured me that everything would be okay. I cried in her arms and thanked her between tears. She stayed with me the whole time while I made the police report and waited for my mom to show up. She even bought the boots for her kids, but regrettably, I never took down her name. Unfortunately, the man was never caught. And in another very questionable decision by my mom, she allowed me to continue working there by myself. Again, the aughts were a crazy time. Luckily, the man never returned, but it's scary thinking of what might have happened if that mom hadn't shown up. If she hadn't called the police, would he have waited for her to leave and come back for me? It makes me feel like someone or something was looking out for me and sent her. So thank you, anonymous mom. I hope you hear this story and know that I still think about you all the time after all these years. And thank you to all the other moms who care for kids not their own. And thank you, Christy and Heather, for letting me write this story. Even if it doesn't make it on the show and anonymous mom doesn't hear my thank you, it was very therapeutic writing it out. Lots of love, JD.
Oh, lots of love to you, JD, because this guy's a criminal and he's doing crimes in the store.
This is so scary. Oh, man. 14 is just the right age where, like, you think you're kind of grown up enough to handle things, but you are not, and your brain has not even fully developed. So you can't even, like, make the adult decisions that you would otherwise. And this pervert 100% knew that you were a minor and underage. And I think somebody or something was looking out for you in a store where you barely get anyone a day to have a mom and her two kids walk in at the exact right time. And I just saw something yesterday about how moms are the ones that are going to change things because they don't have anything but time. When it comes to stuff like this, they will sit at a store and wait for somebody to show up just to prove a point because they're tired of this kind of bullshit going on. And this is the prime example of that.
Just to protect a kid. What James Baldwin said, all kids are my kids. And it's like, what, like, to put your hand on her arm and just provide that direct physical comfort of, like, you can tell me, like, it's okay. Yeah. And finding a mom. I saw an incident where it was extremely sad. Two adults had, I believe drugs were involved, had lost consciousness behind the wheel. And there were kids behind the in the back seat, and this biker crew of guys on, like, you know, kind of dirt bikes, bikers, pulled around them and surrounded them and were pulling the parents out and were trying to resuscitate them. And one of the guys jumped in the back, got the girl, the little girl, out of her car seat and went and found a mom and was like, "You're a mom?" And this woman was like, "Yes, I've got her." And was like, "This baby don't need to see this." And it's just like that community of people where we are each other's keepers. And so it is up to us if you see the 14-year-old worker shaking and going, "What's going on, kid? Like, is everything okay?" Because from your perspective, JD, you kind of go, well, nothing really happened. The second he came behind that, the register, that's assault. That's, at least under Texas law, it's reasonable apprehension of an imminent bodily harm, including sexual harm. I mean, you're like, this is about to happen. He might rape me right here behind this thing. So him even coming at you, making those moves, that's assault. And I would argue this is like attempted indecency with a child. You're making concrete steps towards luring a child, making explicitly sexual demands at a child, you know, veiled in your Boogie Nights reference. Fuck you, first of all.
Get over it. Yeah.
But I mean, that's what I think. I think he is a criminal. And so when we see things like this and go, well, somebody just made a comment, or he just took a couple steps toward her, we all need to take it seriously and go, oh, you mean he just assaulted her? You mean he was attempting indecent acts with a child? Like, and label it what it is, because so long these guys have gotten off, no pun intended, going like, well, he didn't mean it. He's just trying to be friendly. They're perverts. They know what they're doing. They're doing it intentionally. And they try to skate around the edges so we don't call them out. And when you loudly and clearly call them out, they go scattering because they're like the roaches they are.
This to me isn't even subtle. I mean, saying, I saw your panties when you bent over to a fucking child. And if you're the type of person, or you know the type of person that's like, well, he didn't do anything, put your kid, your niece, yourself at 14 years old in that position and then tell me he didn't do anything. Like, would you want your kid in that position? I mean, he came back into the store, waited in a fitting room, waiting for her to come back there to do what he was going to do.
Yeah.
And that woman happened to walk in at the right time. But saying such nasty, disgusting things to a child should, in and of itself, be enough to have somebody arrested. Mm-hmm. But then to harass her multiple times. I mean, it's a shame that he wasn't caught, because people like this, I'm like, there's no way this was the first time you did this, and there's no way it was the last time you did this. And people like this only escalate.
No, 100%. And even if you want to say like, well, you know, I said that to her and then I walked behind the case, but then I left. So, you know, you might try to, one defense is to say like, I abandoned the act. Like, I didn't take her to my house. I didn't try to. Bitch, you came back and hid in the dressing room. Like, we don't think you're doing that because you might want to go, I was thinking about performing at horse competitions. My dick. No, you were not. You were thinking about coming and grabbing that kid. So shout out to Anonymous Mom. May we all be that anonymous mom in whatever situation it requires of us, especially if all it took for this lady was a kind, soft hand on an arm and it, is everything okay?
Yeah.
Like a genuine human to human, like, you can tell me. Like,
and she go beat that man up. She knew from the look on that little girl's face. And, you know, I mean, of course, when the guy darts out, I'm sure she could put two and two together. But yes, may we all take care of each other. It takes a village. Mm-hmm. And I think there is something very comforting for young girls if an older female, if a mom is there, because we're just naturally more compassionate people and we're not scary to them because we don't try and sexually assault them.
No, truly. It's like when somebody's like, one girl goes, growing up, my dad used to say, go find a goth. If you're out, if you're scared of someone, find like an emo goth kid or whatever, like they'll take care of you. I was like, you're not wrong. But just somebody who gets it and who is in that, especially a parent who, a mom who has brought life into the world, is like, I want to protect all life because I know how precious it is and how much it takes to create. Certainly.
Yeah.
Well, here we are, baby. We're ready. Mama.
If you were if you're listening to this, anonymous mom, you're incredible. And if you are, and if we get a reply, I'm going to lose my shit. So
that'll be
please.
Insane. That'd be crazy. I want to hear your POV for sure. Or if you're the kid of that mom who was, you know, maybe the mom doesn't listen, but I remember I was with my mom at that horse store and the girl was crying. It could be you that saved her life.
It's a great example, too, of this was 20 years ago, 25 years ago, and JD still remembers, one, the fear, and two, the kindness. So, again, if you say, well, nothing really happened. Well, if nothing really happened, JD wouldn't remember this interaction 25 years later.
Right. And it's like you don't necessarily remember someone's name or exactly what they look like, but you remember how they made you feel, either extremely afraid of for your own safety, or relieved, happy, taken care of, kindness in the world. So we all strive to be anonymous mom and eradicate these men like this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, get that's when we bring quartering back. You already got the horse sore.
I was like, y'all started up in me. Don't be shocked when I turn crazy. You did this.
Oh yeah, I'm full on.
I'm on the edge.
Mama. Okay. Well, thank you so much, JD. Not Vance. Never.
The good JD. You can be president.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Anybody that wrote in today can be president. Anyone listening can be president. I will throw my vote behind you, I promise.
Before JD Vance. Sinisterhood, we'll be right back. You know that hoodie you can't stop reaching for? The one that feels like a second skin. It's soft, warm, and somehow makes you feel a little more grounded. Tell you where it comes from. I found it. It's not what you expect. It's called Pekka. That's P-A-K-A. And if you're not tired of messing around with hoodies that stretch out, they peel, they got you heavy, sweating all gross, this is the upgrade you've been waiting for.
Pekka makes performance apparel from alpaca fiber, one of the world's most sustainable natural fibers. Their best-selling hoodie is softer than cashmere, warmer than wool, and breathable enough to wear year-round. It's lightweight but cozy, adapts to the weather, and it doesn't stretch out or pill. This is a hoodie built for real life. Thermoregulating, odor-resistant, durable, and made to last.
Each one is handcrafted in Peru with the artisan's name stitched into the tag as a mark of quality and care. Shout out to Olga for making my classic hoodie and to Rosemary for making my woman's hoodie. Over 100,000 people have already picked up the Pekka hoodie, not only because it feels amazing, because it's made sustainably and ethically from traceable alpaca fiber while supporting the communities that created it and folks like Olga and Rosemary.
Absolutely. I got the original crew in Rosewood, which is just the prettiest shade of pink. It fits well. It's like the perfect lightweight type of sweater. And then I've got the hoodie in navy, which is just great. Both things are so well made. I feel like I look like I've stepped up my game when I put them on, but I'm still also super comfortable, which is basically how I want to live my life.
Right,
I look fancy, but I'm comfortable.
I'm trying to look a little athleisurely, but also upscale. So shout out to my Woodman's hoodie in sky blue. And then under the clothes that no one can see, my essential scoop bralette in forage. I love the fabric of it. Just the feel of that pack of fiber is just next level.
To grab your pack of hoodie, go to www.packaapparel.com. That's www.packaapparel.com. Well, this next one's from A and is called My Experience with PTSD Prevention After a Traumatic Event. A writes, I was just listening to Freaky Friday episode 212, and when I got to M's story about the aggressive sales guy and she said her sense of security was shattered, I felt compelled to write in. I too went through an event that could have done that to me, but it didn't, and I thought I'd share in case it helps M or someone else. Back in the height of the pandemic, my partner, his daughter, and I were held hostage at gunpoint in a Rite Aid. We had just picked up our prescriptions, and as we were trying to leave, four young men ran in. We quickly realized they had guns. We were in the wide main aisle, and there was no way to hide from them. I had my phone in my hand, but I had no time. One of them saw me and pointed his gun at me and shouted at me to put it away. Two of them rounded up the few customers and forced us to kneel on the ground in front of the pharmacy, while the other men jumped the counter and robbed the pharmacy. And while it felt like an eternity, it was over as quickly as it started. We gave our statements to the police and just went about the rest of our day. Never even crossed my mind we could get PTSD from this. It happened so fast and we weren't physically harmed. A few days later, my partner and I both had panic attacks when we went into the store together. We talked about it and we felt the same. We didn't feel safe because we couldn't see the exit and we felt trapped. My job has a health clinic that offers free therapy sessions, so I contacted them. The therapist told us that this could process into PTSD, but it didn't have to. We just couldn't let this event stop us from living our lives. We had to go back out there and back into that Rite Aid. When you hide yourself away after traumatic events, it basically reinforces the fear in your brain and lets it take root. But what is the likelihood that we are going to be in another armed robbery? Pretty non-existent. So you go back out there and tell yourself that you are safe. It won't happen again. We continued to have a few sessions and worked on living as normal as possible. I did get minor panic when I saw young men in hoodies for longer than I worried about being in stores, but I just reminded myself that I was safe and it wasn't them. But it worked. Years later, I can talk and think about that day like it was just another day. It doesn't rule my life. So my advice for people is talk to a therapist. Work through those feelings. Exposure therapy does work. The faster you get on top of it, the less likely it is that PTSD will take root. M, don't let that man win. It is your house and your yard. Don't let him take that away from you. Thank you, ladies, for giving us listeners a place to reach out and help each other, and for all your compassion in these trying times. The end. P.S. I later read that playing Tetris right after a traumatic event can also help your brain recover more quickly. I now have it downloaded on my phone, just in case. Which Amazing. Is the thing.
Amazing.
I ran across that months ago on TikTok, and I was like, surely this can't be a thing. It is. It does help your brain process it. To me, it seems kind of like the same reasoning behind EMDR. And they're really not sure like how all of it works, but it's messes with how things get processed in your brain to help it not be as traumatic anymore.
Wow. Yeah, I never knew that. But I can see how it would help. Maybe something about the orderliness and the deciding things right in time. I don't know. Or it's probably even subconscious. We can't even track it. But I hear you on the, you know, even though it was just a few minutes, that's so absolutely scary. You're living your life and all of a sudden it turns into a fucking action scene from a movie that you did not audition for and are not being paid SAG wages to act in. You're just staying in there.
You got your kid with you too.
I mean, terrifying. And, you know, you think, well, I have my phone. And we all think that. And it's like, God, no. Because if you're outnumbered and they are planned it in advance and know how they're going to do it, it really can, I think, be a lasting thing. And I'm so happy that you were able to reach out. My dad was robbed, not robbed, but it was in a robbery and would kind of talk about it. But really, you know, in the 90s, that wasn't something that was like, no, I'm going to go see a therapist and I'm going to go play Tetris to work. You know, it'd just be like, it was a crazy thing that happened. Anyway, another beer. Like, you know, it's just like, let's just deal with it that way. So, but I remember thinking like, even though you weren't the target, that's still a significant feeling that you're going to carry with you. And the little pieces, like you said, if you don't go back there, I can definitely understand how they're like, ding, like I'm entering Rite Aid, or the someone going, welcome to Rite Aid, or hearing someone stocking boxes, like any number of those sounds that you don't even know that you like logged in your head could set you off. So the idea that you had a panic attack, you know, weeks later or days later, of course you did.
Makes like sense.
Man, it's scary. That is scary.
My father-in-law was robbed.
Oh God. Too.
Yeah. Like when he was pretty young, in his early 20s or something, working a job that involved something to do with an ATM.
Oh, but yeah.
Yeah. You know, I mean, any of that, whether you're just scared or you're physically injured, I mean, anything that impacts the way you live your day-to-day life is a trauma, and we have to work through those. And good for you for going to therapy. Incredible that your company offers free therapy. May we all live in a world where that becomes the normalized thing.
For real. That needs to be an amenity or a fringe benefit at every place we work at, especially if it's not like, it doesn't have to be like this, something happened at work and now I need help with it. It's like, this will help me as a overall human. I think you deserve that help. So kudos to you for going to that. And for thank you very much for thinking to share it with other folks.
Yes. I love the message. And I'm so glad that you were able to get that under control, because that's a life-changing thing. You're like, well, I'm going to go pick up my prescriptions. And it's those little things where you're just like, living your normal life and something like that happens. Those are the things that really keep me up, because it can happen to anybody.
Like at any moment. So I love that idea that therapist is like, go there and be like, what's the likelihood that this is going to happen again? Because you really don't think about that. Because you're like, but it did happen this one time. But that's where Tetris comes in.
Where your OCD brain comes in, if you're me. And then I have all my grounding things to be like, could it happen again? Sure. Is it likely? No. And then you got to remind yourself you're safe and do all your little, what can I smell? What can I feel? What can I touch? Type of stuff. You know, We're all just trying to do our best.
It's all our first times here, so. Sinisterhood, we'll be right back. I don't know about you, but I like keeping my money where I can see it, in a can on my countertop. Unfortunately, traditional big wireless carriers seem to like keeping my money too. After years of overpaying for wireless, you're going to get fed up. There's too many high bills. There's bogus fees. They tell you that there's free perks. They cost more in the long run. No, you got to give it all up. Switch to Mint Mobile.
Stop overpaying for wireless. Mint Mobile offers premium wireless plans starting at just $15 a month with high-speed data, unlimited talk and text, all running on the nation's largest 5G network. You can bring your own phone, bring your own number. You activate with eSIM in minutes. There's no long-term contracts required. Plus, you get 3 months of premium service for $15 a month. I've never heard of it cheaper anywhere else.
No, it's so good. Like I said, one time I was at dinner talking to folks and I said, yeah, we got Mint Mobile and did the show phone, you know, from when we travel and everything, got activated with the eSIM. And when I said Mint Mobile, several people at the table lit up and were like, we have Mint Mobile. It's incredible. It's so great. And it's not expensive like it was before. And they're saving so much money. So be like my dinner guest and like us and save a little dough on your wireless bill.
If you like your money, Mint Mobile is for you. Shop plans at mintmobile.com/sinisterhood. That's mintmobile.com/sinisterhood.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 months, 5 gigabyte plan required, equivalent to $15 per month. New customer offer for first 3 months only and then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See Mint Mobile for details.
Well, this next one is from Lucky. And the subject line is, he knew before the news, or anyone, really. Lucky uses they, them pronouns. Howdy, ladies. Y'all can call me Lucky. First, I wanted to start off by sincerely and genuinely thanking you both for the incredible pod. You handle each topic and subject matter with a level of wit, charisma, and compassionate empathy that the world so desperately needs more of, now more than ever. My story goes back during my school days, specifically the first Obama administration. God, those were the days. Not perfect, but easily preferred over gestures wildly around, whatever the fuck this is. It was late spring and one of the rare nights where, instead of being an angsty teen locked in their room, ruminating over my electric guitar, I opted to hang out in the living room with my parent one. At the time, there was a special on TV about a breakthrough medical advancement that piqued both of our interests, which helped negotiate a later bedtime on a school night. Even strict parents have some flexibility for some bonding time. We were probably about 70% through the special before our local anchors cut in suddenly, apologizing for the interruption to inform viewers that the president was planning to address the nation shortly. Parent one and I exchanged glances, curious, but our focus immediately shifted back to the special. Then, before we knew it, the president was addressing the nation, informing us that Osama bin Laden was dead. In shock, Parent One whipped their head around to me to gauge my reaction, before calling into the dining room, "Oh my gosh, Parent Two, they got bin Laden!" Parent Two was at the dining table, reading over some work documents, and casually glanced up, stating completely monotone, "Huh, so they finally announced it," before going back to reading. Huh? Now, for context, there are some things to know about Parent 2. One, they work for the government, obviously. Two, we didn't, and still don't, really know what they do. The joke at the dinner table was, "Hey, Parent 2, how was work?" "Good. Can't tell anything else?" And then a head shake before switching to another topic. They also traveled a lot for work, had a couple of deployments, and owned a BlackBerry back in the early days when they were government issued, along with a designated unmarked vehicle. From our limited understanding, especially back in those days, most of the work week involved overtime in the city, so having them home for dinner or before bed was a 3 out of 5 shot on a good week. Now, in hindsight, they likely have or had security clearance. They for sure have connections across multiple agencies or some very wholesome buddies whose weddings they have been in and attended across the country. And we've confirmed that a good chunk of their cases were and are still classified. All this to say, the exchange was so nonchalant that you would have thought parent one shared that it was going to rain tomorrow. And given that this was 2011, the world and government was a different place. One where the government wasn't this openly fascist shit show, and one where at the helm wasn't this pedophilic clown of a, quote, president, a.k.a. the Phantom Menace, or absolute drunken, essaying tool of Secretary of Defense, a.k.a. Colin Jost's ongoing magnum opus. One where if you hear the president disclosing the successful elimination of the head of a terrorist organization, you would have to have been in the very select few to know beforehand. I hope that this story elicits a chuckle or some sort of what the fuck reaction. I'm glad to finally have a space to share this beyond a two truths and a lie icebreaker scenario. Thanks again for all your hard work and this clear labor of love and passion. You both guide me through long days of legal compliance work in the world of healthcare research.
This is so badass to just be like, I already knew that. But how hard it is to keep all those secrets from your family. I'm such a, like, I need at least one or two people to gab to. Like, come on.
Yeah. I guess you do that with your quote unquote work buddies. Mm-hmm. I've heard before, because I think I've mentioned many times that one of my comfort movies, Zero Dark Thirty, right. What does that say about me? But I'm also just fascinated with, like, the capture of Bin Laden and all that was surrounding that. And I've heard from several people that were involved, not personally, but through other avenues, that, yeah, they, like, months later decided to announce it.
Yeah, and didn't really talk about, like, what you did or, you know, when it happened or, like,
no,
as they got back or whatever. They were just,
they
like,
knew they had gotten them and then,
sat
like
on
with
it.
Anything, I think a month or two later, they're like, all right, well, now we'll tell the public about it.
Because otherwise, before that, they're just like, I don't know, someone crashed a helicopter in the middle of this compound. Oh, maybe it was American. Who knows? But that's crazy to the amount of time you would have to sit on that if you were any part of the whole, you know, the chain that knows about it. Nowadays, you just get on a signal chat with somebody. They'll tell you what they're fixing to do. But back then, it was actual covert operations. But if you think, man, just sitting there watching TV and they know they're just going through their classified documents at the table. I will say, though, this level of being able to keep your work secrets, it sounds like that one doctor we just talked about in the last episode to their kid, kind of like, you don't know nothing. Mm-hmm. I don't tell you nothing, you know? And it sounds like this parent, despite just going, I knew that, did not share or open up or anything like that. And I wonder if it's because they know it's for not just their own job security, but perhaps the safety of their family.
Mm-hmm.
Scary.
Yeah.
Scary, scary.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that with us. If you have any other wild stories from parent number two, please don't hesitate to write them in.
Yeah, I love it. I love any kind of covert ops. Mm-hmm. Sinisterhood, we'll be right back.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. And when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNCs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Well, this next one's from Anonymous. Hello, my darling child. And the subject line is Secure School in Canada. Hey, Sinisterhood, Anonymous here, a Canadian currently living in the UK. I've been listening to you guys for years, but this is my first time writing in. I was listening to Freaky Friday episode 210, and the twofer episode reminded me of the time my high school in Ottawa went into secure school due to a shooting downtown. In October 2014, I was in my senior year of high school. My friend and I had second period free, thanks to summer English reach ahead class that freed up a period for me each term, so no class for me during second period and an extended lunch break. During our free period, my friends and I would go to the school library and do our homework from first period to get it done and over with, so I had more time to watch TV after school. It was during this period that my school went in to secure school. We were at our usual table doing homework when suddenly we heard one of the VPs over the announcement system saying for teachers and students to go into secure school. In Canada, we do drills at the beginning of each term in high school. That includes fire drills, secure school, and lockdown. For those who may not know, secure school is considered a level below lockdown, where the teachers ensure no student is out in the hallway or washroom, then lock the classroom doors, but continue teaching until further instructions are given. This was our first real secure school, and at the time, my friend and I didn't know what was going on. We saw the librarian lock the doors and tell everyone in the library we had to remain here until further notice. Me, glad I just went to the washroom before this happened, wasn't too concerned by this announcement and decided to have my lunch early instead and chat with my friend. It wasn't too long into secure school that some students in the library were finding out what was going on through their phones. Someone in downtown Ottawa went up to the World War Memorial and shot one of the soldiers on guard, Corporal Nathan Cirillo, who was stationed there with another soldier in recognition for upcoming anniversaries of battles for Remembrance Day in November. The shooter then made his way to our Parliament building and attempted to shoot others, but was shot and killed by one of the security guards. Unfortunately, the soldier on guard died of his wounds. Secure school, I think, lasted only an hour for our school that day, since my school was well outside downtown Ottawa, about a 30-minute drive on the Trans-Canada Highway if traffic's good. I imagine that, like the listener for the twofer story explained, all schools in the Ottawa district were given the alert to go into either lockdown or secure school, depending on proximity to the city center. I've attached two articles below detailing the shooting. It's wild how one moment can stick with you for a decade. I'm glad my story ended calmly, and I'm always thanking the folks who deal with these situations far more often. Thanks for giving us a place to tell these stories and feel a little less alone. Love you guys. Keep it creepy, girlies. Anonymous.
I had never heard of secure school. It's interesting how different countries do these drills, but, you know, we just call them different things. It's sad that we still have to have them all, but that's the way it is now.
Yeah, it's one of those where you're like, it's better to have the drill and have the be able to lock everybody down, even if it's far away or something like mm-hmm. that, than mass panic or something like that. But being close to, I bet being close to a capital like Ottawa, it's like kids that go to school in around DC, Virginia, Maryland kind of area. When we, you know, spread around the rest of the country here, like terror threats or, you know, a shooting or mass panic erupts near the capital, you're like, that's also just people's lives. Like yeah. people just go to work and live there. So it's a, you oftentimes you live there because your family works in, you know, politics or whatever, but you definitely find yourself in such, you know, where if you're not living near the Parliament, you might not have a situation like this, but it's also, you know, probably good access for kids, but it's something you don't ever forget.
Yeah. That's very sad that the guard who was just there guarding something for a Remembrance Day was killed. You know, he wasn't even guarding like something in battle. He was just guarding something to memorialize others that had also passed. Yeah, the article says that the shooter had a long-barreled rifle, was dressed in civilian clothes with a hoodie and a bandana. So it seemed like he was trying to conceal his identity and knew what he was about to do.
It seems like once he got to Parliament, the sergeant at arms engaged in gunfire as well as other guards at the area and killed him. But that's the sad part about Corporal Nathan Cirillo, a sitting duck, essentially standing mm-hmm. out what's otherwise you would assume is a, you know, it's a peaceful, quiet place it's a pretty quiet gig, but yeah. That's crazy. Yeah,
very sad. Well, thank you for sharing that with us. And I'm glad that your experience, while memorable, ended the way it did.
Right. Absolutely. Thank you, Anonymous. Sinisterhood, we'll be right back.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Well, this next one is from Max, and the subject line is gun on the ground. Hey, ladies, I'll get right into it. I was in downtown Los Angeles on Monday to get a little shopping done. Around 8:30 p.m., I decided to call it a day and walk back to the metro to catch the subway back home. I was tired, preoccupied with what I would make for dinner when I stopped in my tracks. Right in front of the station, lying on the floor, was a gun. I looked around to see the reaction of others, but people either noticed and kept walking or were oblivious to the situation altogether. Being a true crime fan, I did not touch it, and I immediately called 911 while a few people waited with me. Eventually, one of them looked up the weapon, and we were a little relieved to find out it was a soft gun. Still, for a person not very well versed in firearms, I would not have known the difference. Furthermore, the gun was positioned in front of a column, effectively blocking it from cameras, which I naturally found suspicious. We stayed for 10 to 15 minutes, guarding the gun from passersby, when someone strolled past, casually swooped it up, and kept walking like nothing happened. The action was swift, smooth even, and our silence towards it was heavy. Finally, the small group of us discussed our disbelief at the brazen situation and shortly disbanded. There was nothing we could do by that point. By the time law enforcement got there, we were all gone, though I did follow up with them over the phone to explain the aftermath of my first call. Even with my caution toward police, I do not regret calling the situation in. Regardless if the firearm was real or not, soft guns can still cause damage or cause hysteria, especially in densely populated areas. I don't know if this was some social experiment or if the weapon was used criminally, but in the future, if the situation allows, I hope more people will act rather than scurry past what may be seen as a dangerous inconvenience. Keep doing what you two do best. Max.
Max has included a picture.
It's a
and
gun.
I 100% would not know that was a soft gun, which is a gun that shoots like air pellets or maybe BBs or something like that, not actual bullets. It can still hurt, but the bigger thing is, this looks like a real gun. And if somebody picks that up and starts waving it around, there's a good chance an officer is going to take you down because they can't tell it's not real either at that distance.
It looks like, I mean, I would, like you said, anybody passing that would think that's a handgun unless 100%. You were a firearms expert or you really kneeled down and it says airsoft or something on the sign. But yeah, just walking past it, it is a situation where you're like, well, I don't want to pick it up because then you're like, A, your fingerprints, B, you don't know why it's there, how it got there, but also the fact that someone just walked by and took it. And because what are you going to do? Go, sorry, you can't take that ground gun because you don't know if they dropped it or if it's, like you said, they're filming you from far away to go like, what do people do? And it's like, well, they call
Could
the police.
Be.
And it's like, oh shit, they called the police. We got to go get the gun and get out of here before the cops show up.
Yeah, the brazenness that you described and how they picked it up seems like it wasn't like they just noticed it when they were walking by and were like, oh, I'm going to pick this up, but it seemed deliberate. Like, that's an interesting take that it might have been a social experiment, especially with it being behind a column so the cameras wouldn't pick it up. That's a stupid social experiment, if you ask me, because this could have ended way worse. Yeah. I'm glad that you and some other people with some common sense stopped and were like, well, we've got to make sure no one grabs this. What if a kid walks by and picks this up?
Or anybody.
A kid is probably most likely to open fire. Just somebody, you know, unhinged person.
Yeah, somebody that's just pissed off or whatever. And was like, there it is right there. It's the answer to my problems right on the ground. Yeah, I definitely would get stuck babysitting a gun and be like, well, the cops haven't got here yet, so I have to wait for it. But yeah, what do you even do if someone snatches it? You did everything you could, Max. That's wild. And if any of you guys on social, like if you've seen on social media where people are like, it's the gun in the subway chat. Send it our way because
please
don't do that. We need to tell them that it worked and it freaked people out.
No, yeah. I would probably not yell out to someone that picked it up because I wouldn't necessarily want to draw my attention to myself with someone that just picked up a gun and I don't know why they have it or if they owned it or what is happening. But I also wouldn't pick it up if I saw it either because one, I don't want to accidentally set it off. Guns scare me. And two, fingerprints and whatnot. But, and then once you like pick it up, you're kind of left with it.
You're the custodian until
somebody shows up to take it away from you.
You're like, now I'm in charge of a gun and I don't need to be the one that's in charge of a gun ever. But no, no, I am. No. But yeah, I think, yeah, you did the right thing. But a situation like this, I'm maybe filming it and filming myself just to be like, I did not touch this. I have evidence that I didn't touch it. But you're right. Don't scream out at the person who's brazen enough to grab a weapon because they might turn it on you and you just never know. So
that's wild. Yeah.
Man, wild times in the subway. And we're not talking about sandwiches.
No. Does Instagram allow us to post a picture like this?
I wonder if I can because it is a picture of a gun. Maybe small, but I will. I'll post a picture of it and we'll see if our
suppressed. Right on it. Soft gun.
Toy gun. This is a toy.
Yeah.
Thank you, Max, for sending that one in. Sinisterhood, we'll be right back.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
And this final one we've got here is from Michelle. And content warning, this does include the loss of a pet. And the subject line is, do you believe in reincarnation? Hi, Heather and Christy. First, thank you so much for using your platform not only to entertain, but to cover and spotlight relevant and important topics. Everyone has their own roles in revolution. Some can protest, some can donate, and some are storytellers. All roles are equally important to make change. To the listeners that feel like they could never do enough, change starts as small as your community around you. I hope the listener who wrote in about her conservative college hears this and it helps. Second, I'd like to share my own Freaky Friday tale. I'll take us back to 2018, when I was working at an emergency vet clinic. A big orange and white cat was surrendered to us, and I eventually ended up adopting him. Not abnormal, as I help run a nonprofit animal rescue, and even before a vet career, I've always had pets of all species. All are special in their own way, but Archie had a huge and distinct personality. He was 2 when I brought him home, and he unexpectedly passed away last summer at only 9 years old. This left a huge hole in my household. I have 2 other cats and a dog who are all grieving. Naturally, I decided to speak to a pet psychic. She connected with Archie and said he loved being a cat and living with me. She said his little soul would find its way back to me very soon. A week or so later, I got the opportunity to foster kittens. I thought it would be the perfect way to help us all move forward. The rescue took in some very small and crusty kittens, and 3 of them came to stay with me. One of the kittens, now Bruno, seemed to immediately move into my house. I was not planning on adding a kitten so soon, but I was not given a choice. He seemed to know the layout of the house and recognize my other pets. His siblings would run around and play, but he would only want to lay on my lap. He seemed to recognize my friends that would come and visit. His estimated birthday was within a week or two after Archie passed. Of course, I reached out to the pet psychic and she confirmed what I already knew. Archie's soul came back to me in Bruno's kitten body. Not only does Bruno look like Archie, he acts just like him. It feels like Archie never left us. Spirituality means different things to everyone, but I've always believed in reincarnation. I believe there are souls that are supposed to find you in every life, and some souls come back to you multiple times. Pets find you to help guide you through your life journey. I am lucky to be able to help animals and have their help in return. A picture of Archie, orange and white menace, and a picture of Bruno, small orange menace, are attached for reference and for pet tax. The rescue I help run is called A New Leash on Life Rescue out of Cleveland, Ohio. We're a very small nonprofit that focuses on seniors and complicated medical cases that shelters can't afford to take on. It feels important to make a difference wherever and whenever we can, and I have had the absolute pleasure of saving animals and matching them with their forever homes. Thank you all for what you do for the Sinisterhood community and all of the awareness you raise. You make an impact with your words and actions every week. See you next time you're in Cleveland. Check out the Buckland Witch Museum next time you're in town if you haven't already.
Oh, we have definitely checked the Buckland Witch Museum out. We had a lovely talk with the owner and got a bunch of great pictures. And my t-shirt from there is one of my favorite t-shirts I have.
Oh, yeah. We learned so much. It was an awesome place and such good vibes. So welcoming. And look at these baby faces. I'm so sorry you lost sweet Archie. He looks like the cat I grew up with. We called old man. So sweet. And but look at Bruno, that face.
Oh, dude. The only cat I've ever had was an orange and white cat. Her name was Cleo. And there is something about orange and white cats, man. I mean, it's kind of like stereotyped that they're a bit cuckoo. But this one, he knew exactly what he wanted. And isn't that crazy? First, also, yeah, naturally you contact a pet psychic when your pet dies. That's just the way of how things go.
I'm trying to contact a pet psychic while they're alive too, because I've also seen some people on TikTok being like, hey, your dog doesn't like when you do that. And I'm like, oh, I'd love to know that. And be like, this is why the goose is biting you. Stop doing these things. But I'm glad you found some comfort, not just with the psychic giving you information, but also with your new baby. And thank you for everything you do, helping pets, seniors, and complicated medical cases. I was just talking to a person who's affiliated with vet practice today and was talking about how tough it is. Like if folks come in and their pets have a huge issue and they can't afford to, you know, take that issue on or whatever. So it's I feel like you're doing the good work out there, making sure people can care for saving the animals and making sure that they find somewhere where they're going to be loved and cared for.
Absolutely. Both these babies have the sweetest faces. And I mean, if any cat can come into your home and immediately find themselves at home, I feel like you've got a lot of good energy and vibes happening there.
These cats will shred your ass if they if you have bad vibes, you get cut up like the side of a sofa.
These little babies could never.
No, Bruno would never destroy anything. Oh, I would not know. Looking at that
so
face.
So cute.
That face. Oh, well, thank you very much for sharing that. For giving a little hope, too, if anybody else has lost a pet loved one. Michelle,
if you're in Cleveland, a new Leash on Life rescue, check them out.
Might have your next pet waiting for you.
Absolutely. Well, thank you to everyone who sent in your Freaky Friday stories today. If you have an odd but true story, maybe you've encountered Bigfoot, you've seen a UFO, you had a brush with true crime, or you felt the presence of an otherworldly being, send them in at sinisterhood.com/Freaky Friday. Speaking of freaky, have you got something creepy caught on camera? Found a weird or unexplainable clip online? Maybe you just have a funny video you want us to see. Send it our way and we'll live react to it during Sunday Scaries, our weekly live stream over on Patreon every Sunday at 8:30 p.m. Central. It's totally free. You just put in your email. You get immediate access to Sunday Scaries, the amazing chat, and a whole backlog of content that is for free members just as a thank you for signing up.
And hanging out with everybody in the chat. That's the best part.
Oh, yeah.
Just all the new friends.
Well, if you like our free episodes like this one, you'll love our Patreon bonus content. You can join for free to see what we're up to next, or dive into over 1,000 hours of bonus content, like Judge Christie, where I rule on petty grievances you bring before the court, True Crime Headlines, where we break down the latest news and updates in true crime, Heather Saves, where anything Heather has found late night scrolling could be discussed, and Emma the Asshole, Unpopular Opinions, and other subreddits that we feel require our input. We've got a couple going up this week. We've got an Unpopular Opinions. We've got a Just No Mother-in-Law, which is always a wild subreddit to visit.
The audacity of people knows no bounds.
No, they sure don't. No.
Plus, we've got a mini-sode coming your way where we discuss the latest UAP disclosures on the war.gov/aliens.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll be interested to hear what that's all about. We offer free trials if you're curious of what we've been up to. You can join for a week at any of the tiers, check out all the perks, and cancel anytime before the trial is over without getting charged. But if you stick around for a year, do an annual membership so you get 1 month free and you get all kinds of stuff all year long.
Ad-free episodes, monthly live stream Q&As, quarterly live stream bonus content. We let you all vote on the bonus content you want to see. You get weekly audio bonus content, mini-sodes, merch discounts, and a community of the best listeners on the whole internet.
Head over to sinisterhood.com and click shop on the top banner to check out merch like t-shirts, mugs, totes, stickers, and even clothes for your kiddos.
While you're on our website, you can also review the show. Thank you so much to everyone who's left such kind words and 5 stars. You can submit topics and cases you'd like us to cover, submit your Freaky Friday stories, Sunday Scary videos, and you'll find fun things like topic-based playlists and tickets for Crime Wave at Sea 2027.
Get on the ship before the ship leaves the port, baby. We cannot wait. Follow us over on Instagram and Threads at Sinisterhood Pod. Like us on Facebook at Sinisterhood. Follow us over on YouTube and TikTok, Sinisterhood Podcast. Watch clips from the episodes, live streams, and more. And if you are looking for a unique and personal gift for the Sinisterhood fan in your life, you want to treat yourself to a pep talk or get some advice from us, we would love to do that via a cameo for you. Now, from happy birthdays to birth announcements to congratulating you on whatever it is you've done, we would love to create a customized video that'll be immediately viewed and sent. It's custom. You don't have to leave your house, and you can get it right from the website, cameo.com/sinisterhood. Where can people find you ablaze on the internet?
I'm on Instagram and Threads at Christy M. Wallace and TikTok at Christy or GTFO. Heather?
All over the places at Heather versus the World.
As always, the devil rules the airwaves.
Keep it creepy.
What if you could get more from what you already do? As a Shell Fuel Rewards member, that's just a regular Friday morning. You get more rewards, more savings, and more special offers. Earn rewards when shopping, dining out, and fueling up. And all of that becomes fuel savings when you're at the pump. Use the Shell app and enjoy life with more. Your nearest Shell station is less than 5 miles away.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 30% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.